This is LBC.
It's Friday. It's 10 to 5. That means it's Simon Marks's American Week.
Eddie, this is all going to take some getting used to. The snap back to normalcy, if that's what it is, has transformed Washington in just 48 hours. It feels like we've all taken a trip on the TARDIS back to the land that time forgot, a US capital where conversations are suddenly rooted in facts, not alternative ones. Exchanges with government officials are mature and mutually respectful, not a juvenile jungle of ideological hand-to-hand combat. Even Dr. Anthony Fauci, briefing reporters without the presence of Donald Trump peering over his shoulder, seemed to be pinching himself last night at the novelty of it all.
One of the new things in this administration is if you don't know the answer, don't guess. Just say you don't know the answer.
Whatever next? Perhaps an approach to COVID-19 that doesn't treat scientists like people who exist to be persuaded in front of the world's media by a man with no medical training whatsoever that maybe, perhaps, household disinfectant might work as a cure for a pandemic.
No, actually, obviously, I don't want to be going back, you know, over history, but it was very clear that there were things that were said, be it regarding things like hydroxychloroquine and other things like that, that really was an uncomfortable because they were not based on scientific fact. I can tell you, I take no pleasure at all in being in a situation of contradicting the president. So it was really something that you didn't feel that you could actually say something and there wouldn't be any repercussions about it. The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it. Let the science speak. It is somewhat of a liberating feeling.
You could see the feeling of liberation etched into his face. There are side-by-side pictures of him on social media, some taken in the Trump era, others yesterday. They could serve as the before and after claims of a talented plastic surgeon, except no one would believe the results were really possible. From the president last night,
400,000 Americans have died. That's more than have died in all of World War II. 400,000. This is a wartime undertaking.
The first efforts by the country's leader to use the authority of his office to urge Americans finally to take the pandemic seriously and modify their behavior accordingly. He warned the death toll will reach 500,000 within the next few weeks, said the science shows 50,000 lives could be saved if everyone everywhere just puts on a face mask. Top officials say with regards to vaccine distribution, they are starting from scratch. After the Trump administration claimed it was going to vaccinate 20 million Americans by New Year's Eve, but only managed to jab 2.8 million of them.
We're still in a dark winter of this pandemic. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to take many months to get where we need to be. Progress from our plan will take time to measure as people getting infected today. They don't show up as in case counts for weeks. And those who perish from this disease die weeks after their exposure. Despite the best intentions, we're going to face setbacks, which I will always explain to you.
Expectations management. Everything Joe Biden has said over the past 48 hours has been tinged with the promise that he'll never lie to the American people. The era of truth and transparency is back. Here's how he put it yesterday.
We will level with you when we make a mistake. We'll straight up say what happened.
But there was an early test of that about an hour later. Jen Psaki, the new White House press secretary, did not exactly pass it with flying colors. Why, she was asked, had members of the president's family themselves failed to wear face masks on inauguration night, in direct contravention of the face mask mandate Joe Biden had just signed?
I think, Steve, he was celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country, and certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of precautions, but I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment in time.
The first early sign of dissembling in a White House briefing room where the president's press secretary and reporters are slowly re-establishing a truth-based modus vivendi. There are two types of people in Washington at the end of this American week: those who recognize the scale of the change that has taken place here, and those who are still in denial about their own role in the events of the last 2 weeks.
They want to start the new Congress, the very
first thing with a vindictive and punitive impeachment trial. I don't think that reflects the priorities of the American people.
That is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, one Republican of many who just a fortnight ago was trying to overturn the will of the American people as it was expressed at the ballot box. This week, he was still trying to protect Donald Trump from the inevitable, a date with a trial in the Senate on charges of insurrection. Just a couple of hours ago, the new majority leader in the Senate, Charles Schumer, a Democrat, indicated we all need to get the popcorn in this weekend because the trial is happening next week.
I've spoken to Speaker Pelosi, who informed me that the articles will be delivered to the Senate on Monday. The Senate will conduct a trial of the impeachment of Donald Trump. It will be a full trial. It will be a fair trial. But make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited insurrection against the United States.
Mitch McConnell, the Republican who used to run things in the Senate but is now learning that elections have consequences, is still trying to delay the trial. But he seemed to acknowledge here this morning the battle is lost.
By Senate rules, if the article arrives, we have started a trial right then. This impeachment began with an unprecedentedly fast and minimal process over in the House. The sequel cannot be an insufficient Senate process that denies former President Trump his due process or damages the Senate or the presidency itself.
Heaven knows we wouldn't want anything to damage the institution of the presidency. From the man who, until noon on Wednesday, was president, we've heard nothing since these valedictory comments at Andrews Air Force Base just before Air Force One took him to his golf club in Florida.
So, have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We do know that he's now found a lawyer. A man by the name of Butch Bowers from South Carolina will represent the president at the trial that will decide whether Donald Trump is ever able to run for public office again. As the news agency Reuters puts it, Bowers is relatively unknown on the national stage. His website biography discloses that he enjoys bird hunting and good bourbon. I can't say much about the bird hunting, but I do know he hasn't got enough bourbon to get him through the next week. Donald Trump's supporters don't quite know what to do with themselves, not least because, cut off from social media, he isn't easily able to give them their marching orders. Last night on Fox News, the former president's former right-hand man, Stephen Miller, was fulminating about Joe Biden's first hours in office and the actions he took to protect undocumented aliens living illegally in the United States.
It's about fundamental morality and decency and, yes, democracy. Joe Biden gave a speech yesterday about democracy, and then hours later, he suspends hundreds of pages of immigration law with a stroke of a pen. That's not who we are as a country, Laura. That's just wrong.
That's the same Stephen Miller who defended vigorously the rights of the former president to suspend hundreds of pages of immigration law with the stroke of a pen, albeit a felt-tipped one. Maybe that makes the difference. But at least Mr. Miller still knows which side his bread is politically buttered. For supporters of QAnon, the conspiracy theories embraced by President Trump, this has been a bewildering week, not least because they had all convinced themselves that the former president was going to declare martial law and spare the country Joe Biden's inauguration.
I just don't know. I'm not clear what's going on, and I kept feeling like God was telling me to stay.
Welcome to the world of a man who calls himself Mustang Medic, a cowboy hat-wearing conspiracy theorist from New Jersey who has been streaming live to his QAnon fans over YouTube this week. He's here in Washington, was expecting to see Donald Trump stop Joe Biden from being sworn into office and halt the inauguration in its tracks. It didn't happen, and he's reeling.
I never saw the American flag pictures. I did not see the inauguration, even though I'm here. And I didn't see the fireworks, even though I'm here. I am not going to theorize about what's going on. You guys can. I'm just going to show you what I'm seeing, because we're all seekers of the truth.
Maybe it didn't happen. Maybe we were all just dreaming it.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr.
You solemnly swear.
No, it definitely happened, but the QAnon people are asking themselves in their chat rooms and on their bulletin boards whether perhaps Donald Trump betrayed them, let them down, prioritized his own interests over theirs. The wake-up call, when it comes, is always painful. But it is also important to remember in the weeks and months ahead that there are millions of Americans who fervently believe that Joe Biden is illegitimate in office. And as we saw 2 weeks ago, some of them are willing to engage in acts of violence in a bid to unseat him. It's tempting to think everything suddenly has snapped back to normal here, Eddie, but let's wait a while before we jump to those conclusions.
Simon Marks's American Week back next Friday on this programme at 10 to 5. In a few moments, the Downing Street COVID briefing, hosted by Boris Johnson. First, the Steve Allen soundbite of the night.